So Joshua 21, got a long passage tonight, and as I often do when I have a long passage to read, I'm going to just ask you if you want just to be seated, because it's a lot of pressure for me to pronounce all those names if you're all standing looking at me. So I'm going to give you a break. I'm going to be standing while I'm doing it, but I'm going to read the entire chapter here, Joshua 21, and we'll look at that in just a moment. Father, will you help us as we read your word tonight? We've got names in here we're not familiar with, some areas, some things, and pray that you'll write your truths upon our hearts. Open this passage to our understanding. Help us to glean the necessary truths that you have for us tonight and apply it to us in light of the new covenant and our Savior. And help us understand it also in the original context. And so we ask for your help even as we read it. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is God's word. Then the heads of the fathers, houses of the Levites, came to Eleazar the priest and to Joshua the son of Nun and to the heads of the fathers, houses of the tribes of the people of Israel. And they said to them at Shiloh, in the land of Canaan, the Lord commanded through Moses that we be given cities to dwell in, along with their pasture lands for our livestock. So by command of the Lord, the people of Israel gave to the Levites the following cities and pasture lands out of their inheritance. The lot came out for the clans of the Kohathites. So those Levites who were descendants of Aaron the priest received by lot from the tribes of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin 13 cities. And the rest of the Kohathites received by lot from the clans of the tribe of Ephraim, from the tribe of Dan, and the half-tribe of Manasseh 10 cities. The Gershonites received by lot from the clans of the tribe of Issachar, from the tribe of Asher, from the tribe of Naphtali, from the half-tribe of Manasseh in Bashan 13 cities. The Merarites, according to their clans, received from the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the tribe of Zebulun, 12 cities. These cities and their pasture lands, the people of Israel gave by lot to the Levites, as the Lord had commanded through Moses. Out of the tribe of the people of Judah and the tribe of the people of Simeon, they gave the following cities mentioned by name, which went to the descendants of Aaron, one of the clans of the Kohathites, who belonged to the people of Levi, since the lot fell to them first. They gave them Kiriath Arba, Arba being the father of Anak, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, along with the pasture lands around it. But the fields of the city and its villages had been given to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as his possession. And to the descendants of Aaron, the priest, they gave Hebron, the city of refuge for the manslayer, with its pasture lands, Libna with its pasture lands, Jatir with its pasture lands, Eshtemoah with its pasture lands, Holon with its pasture lands, Debir with its pasture lands, Ain with its pasture lands, Jutta with its pasture lands, Beth Shemesh with its pasture lands, 9 cities of these 2 tribes. Then out of the tribe of Benjamin, Gibeon with its pasture lands, Geba with its pasture lands, Anathoth with its pasture lands, and Almon with its pasture lands, 4 cities. The cities of the descendants of Aaron, the priest, were in all 13 cities with their pasture lands. As to the rest of the Kohathites, belonging to the Kohathite clans of the Levites, the cities allotted to them were out of the tribe of Ephraim. To them were given Shechem, the city of refuge for the manslayer, with its pasture lands in the hill country of Ephraim, Gezer with its pasture lands, Libzaim with its pasture lands, Beth Horon with its pasture lands, 4 cities, and out of the tribe of Dan, Elteke with its pasture lands, Gibbethon with its pasture lands, Ajalon with its pasture lands, Goth Rimmon with its pasture lands, 4 cities, and out of the tribe of Manasseh, Tanakh with its pasture lands, and Goth Rimmon with its pasture lands, 2 cities. The cities of the clans of the rest of the Kohathites were 10 in all with their pasture lands. And to the Gergeshonites, one of the clans of the Levites, were given out of the half-tribe of Manasseh, Golan, in Bashan with its pasture lands, the city of refuge for the manslayer, and Bereshith Terah with its pasture lands, 2 cities. And out of the tribe of Issachar, Kishion with its pasture land, Debereth with its pasture lands, Jarmuth with its pasture lands, Enganim with its pasture lands, 4 cities, and out of the tribe of Asher, Mishael with its pasture lands, Abdon with its pasture lands, Helkath with its pasture lands, and Rehob with its pasture lands, 4 cities, and out of the tribe of Naphtali, Kadesh in Galilee with its pasture lands, the city of refuge for the manslayer, Hamath-dor with its pasture lands, and Kartan with its pasture lands, three cities. The cities of the several clans of the Gershonites were in all 13 cities with their pasture lands, and to the rest of the Levites, the Merarite clans were given out of the tribe of Zebulun, Jokneam with its pasture lands, Karta with its pasture lands, Dimna with its pasture lands, Nahalah with its pasture lands, four cities, and out of the tribe of Reuben, Bezer with its pasture lands, Jahaz with its pasture lands, Kedemoth with its pasture lands, Mephath with its pasture lands, four cities, and out of the tribe of Gad, Ramoth in Gilead with its pasture lands, the city of refuge for the manslayer, Mahanaim with its pasture lands, Heshbon with its pasture lands, Jazer with its pasture lands, four cities in all. As for the cities of the several Merarite clans, that is, the remainder of the clans of the Levites, those allotted to them were in all 12 cities. The cities of the Levites in the midst of the possession of the people of Israel were in all 48 cities with their pasture lands. These cities, each had its pasture land around it. So it was with all these cities. Thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land he swore to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it. And they settled there, and the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. Now, that's a lot. You know, you say those words over and over as you're reading. It's really hard to say after a while. All of that listed here tonight for us in great detail, showing that, you know, God's word, he's faithful to his word. And so all that ink was put down to demonstrate that for us. That's our theme tonight, is God's faithful word. And we've said many times, remembering is a big part of the Christian life. I mean, remembering the Lord, remembering his word, remembering his promises, and remembering the pit from which we've been delivered, remembering the Savior's death until he comes. We have constant need to be stirred up to remember that we should not forget all the Lord's benefits to us. Now here, all of that to say, and all these pasture lands and cities, the Levites were a reminder of the Lord and of his worship and of the revelation of God's covenant. As you know, the other tribes, they've been allotted their portion in the land. But the Levites had to be provided for, not with land like the other tribes. You remember the scattering of Levi was different from that of Simeon, even though they were both pronounced guilty when they had slaughtered the Shechemites, and that they would be scattered in Israel. Yet the Lord, in the case of the Levites, well, he scattered them in a most gracious and an honorable way. So first of all, then, point one on our outline tonight, claiming a divine promise. In verses 1 through 3, the Levites, they come before Eleazar the priest, who was obviously one of them. But they also came before Joshua, the son of Nun. And it wasn't being too forward or presumptuous that the Levites came to Eleazar and Joshua and reminded them of the word of the Lord. I mean, they aren't just coming and asking for somewhere to live. In verse 2, they say, "The Lord commanded through Moses that we be given cities to dwell in, along with their pasture lands, for our livestock." Of course, coveting what God has not promised when he doesn't give it, well, that's one thing. That would be being discontent with God. But laying hold of what he has promised, well, that's quite another thing. And so the Levites were not wrong to come forward and remind Joshua of the word of the Lord concerning them. They should be given these cities in which to dwell, which we just read, that long list of how that was broken down and allocated. Well, for us also, it's no sin to come boldly to the throne of grace, not irreverently or demanding, but boldly, because that honors the truthfulness of God. So we shouldn't be afraid of fully availing ourselves of all that God has promised. It's true that God in his holiness is a consuming fire, but he's also the God of mercy and truth, and it honors him to treat him as the God of truth. We're not treating God with reverence when we treat his word as unreliable or shaky, not sure if I can trust it or not. And sometimes our circumstances cause us to shake our heads in confusion, no doubt. But that never means that His Word is not true. Only that we have failed to understand what He has said or what He has promised, as well as what He has not promised. But it's not humility when we fail to embrace all that God has said and all that He has promised. As if somehow it were, you know, expression of reverence and humility to kind of be tentative about what God has promised. No, if God has promised it, we should grab hold of it with both hands. I mean, you think about what He has promised. I think that's where we get in trouble sometimes. We think we might know some of the finer points of the application of what He's promised. God has promised to take care of us. He feeds the birds of the air. He says He's going to take care of us. I knew a guy when I was in seminary who knew a pastor, faithful pastor, who was in Cuba. This pastor had one meal a day. The food they had, they were handing it out, trying to feed the people under care of his ministry. So he was sharing all he had. This man was down to 100, 110 pounds. This man loved the Lord. The Lord loved these people to whom he was ministering. Was God taking care of them? Yes. He will keep us here on this side of the dirt until He has completed His purpose in our lives. Doesn't mean we're always going to be comfortable. I think we struggle because we live in a Western context, one with great prosperity, and it's easy sometimes maybe to put that onto God, like impose that on Him and what we think He has promised. But brothers and sisters all over the world are struggling mightily. The Lord loves them as He loves us. And so that's, I guess, where it gets us into trouble sometimes. And I don't say that irreverently. I don't say that negatively. I'm not trying to be negative. It's just that in our Western context, I think sometimes it's really hard to understand what God has promised, specifically in certain areas. Jesus is coming back. We're going to go to heaven. He promised we will be raised from the dead. I mean, there's things that are just crystal clear. But the manner in which He cares for us, how that plays out, what He does in our lives, all the providence that He gives to us, that's where the struggle comes in. So, it's always right that we should trust Him in all things. And then also you notice here, even as God provided for these Levites, it was part of His plan that they would be his special servants. These offices that they had, that was a function that was set apart. It's God's plan for the ministry of His Word in the Old Testament. Also in the New, 1 Corinthians 9:13, Paul's telling us, do you not know that those who are employed at the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. So claiming the divine promise, well, that's no sin. But then secondly, in verses 4 through 42, notice a constant reminder. There's some details of interest here. I mean, Caleb, he appears very generous in giving up Hebron as part of his inheritance. He gave it up for the Levites. There are other details here that are interesting, no doubt. But there are at least two main things I think that we need to grasp from this list. Now, many of these names might mean little to us. For one, we're far removed from the context of the original audience. Many of the areas can be pinpointed, but others perhaps not so certainly. Obviously, Aaron and the priest are in Judah, and near to the place that would become the settled place of ceremonial worship in the Promised Land. But generally speaking, there are two things at least we should note here. That is, the Levites were a constant reminder. First of all, because of their ruthlessness, if I can use that word, and I'll try to clarify. In Deuteronomy 18:6, it says that if a Levite comes from any of your towns out of all Israel where he lives, and he may come when he desires to the place that the Lord will choose, and ministers in the name of the Lord, his God, like all of his fellow Levites who stand to minister there before the Lord, then he may have equal portions to eat, besides what he receives from the sale of his patrimony. Well, in the New King James renders it this way. It says, if a Levite shall come from any of thy gates out of Israel where he sojourned. And I really like that translation here, sojourning, in verse 6. Because there's sort of a ruthless manner, if you think about it, to the way the Levites live. This very lack of land, and yet at the same time they have this immense privilege of participating in the worship, helping lead the worship of the Lord. This made it clear, though, that the land was no end in itself. See, the land was never an end in itself. That's the way we tend to think, isn't it? All these physical things that we might enjoy in this life, they're a great reward and blessing. No, the Lord Himself was the exceeding great reward of His people. As Psalm 16:5 says, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance." So the Lord Himself is the inheritance of His people. The lines have fallen in pleasant places. And that's the language of dividing up the inheritance. But the main thing in that inheritance is it's really fellowship with the Lord Himself. Because the land of Canaan was simply the place where that fellowship was to be nurtured and developed and increased. So the land was a place of fellowship with the Lord, but it wasn't an end in itself. It was a place where that covenant bond could be enjoyed and nurtured. God says, "I will be their God, and they shall be my people." That was the end. So the Levites' ruthlessness was itself a reminder that the land was not a be-all and end-all, but that the chief thing was fellowship with the Lord. And the Levites enjoyed that fellowship with special privilege, yes, in their role in the ceremonial ordinances of the Lord during that Old Testament era. That the people as a whole dwelled in the land, and they enjoyed fellowship with the Lord also. But the land wasn't everything. It was a means to an end. It was part of God's covenant with His people. But it was not to be detached from fellowship with the Lord. I mean, that's why a covenant-breaking people, I mean a people who's living in unbelief, well, they don't even have a title to the land itself. But then also the Levites were a constant reminder because they were dispersed. Notice that they were dispersed all throughout the land of Israel. These list of cities from verse 4 down through 42 and their dispersal, not only these cities of refuge, but they were scattered. They were throughout Israel on both sides of the Jordan, so that everywhere in Israel there were these cities not far away that were Levitical cities. And it showed that all Israel had need of the reminder of their presence. The very fact that there were Levites there reminded them of the Lord. And why were these Levites with their special function and office in the cities and without an inheritance in the land? It's a constant reminder. Well, it's because the entering of Israel into the land, it wasn't merely one nation conquering another. It was the people of God brought into their inheritance by the Lord Himself, which also foreshadowed our ultimate inheritance in the new heavens and the new earth in Jesus Christ. And that same Lord had appointed a form of worship, which meant that the Levites were to be distinguished in that. And within the Levites, the descendants of Aaron would be the priesthood. And the firstborn of Aaron's son's descendants, well, they'd be the high priest. In other words, the very presence of the Levites told Israel that the Lord of heaven and earth, He was to be their God. He was to be worshipped. He had revealed Himself in Israel. That these ordinances taught them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so their very presence was a kind of living epistle, if you want to think of it that way. It was God declaring, reminding them that they were not to forget Him. And then also there was instruction of the truth in the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:17-7. There we read, "In the third year of His reign, He sent His officials, Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathanael, Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them the Levites, Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Jebediah, Asahel, Semiramoth, Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Tobadonijah. And with these Levites, the priest, Elishama, and Jehoram." And here it is. "And they taught in Judah having the book of the law of the Lord with them. And they went about through all the cities of Judah and taught among the people. And then in 2 Chronicles 35, verse 3, and he said to the Levites, this is Josiah, he said, the Levites who taught all Israel and who were holy to the Lord, put the ark in the house that Solomon, the son of David, built, king of Israel, built. So the Levites, they taught all Israel. They were all throughout Israel. And that itself was a reminder. And as they were there, they taught the people the law of the Lord. Well, the New Testament church, of course, though we have no Levites, no priests, we still have equal need of being taught. Colossians 1:28, Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And then in 2 Timothy 2:2, And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So obviously, there's to be teaching throughout the church. The whole church must be reminded of the truth that they already know, but they also must be taught more of the truth that they don't know. The truth of God is to be brought to remembrance, and the knowledge of the truth, as it were, needs to be increased. We need both, the reminder and the increase. We don't just learn things once and then just take them up. We know how that works. We need constant reminders, all of us, including me. And we also need to be rebuked at times and exhorted and so forth. But we also need to increase our knowledge of the Scripture. And the Lord has appointed teachers in His church to that end. So Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 11. And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the whole body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So the Levites, they're dispersed among them. So their presence is a reminder. They're also there. They're teaching the word of the Lord, because the whole church should be a place of learning. The whole people of God should be built up in the knowledge of the truth. You know, we are so blessed here at Faith to have wonderful teachers. I'm not talking about Pastor Chad and me right now. This church, small as it is, we have an abundance of people who are absolutely wonderful teachers. Our Christian education ministry on Sunday mornings is very robust. Our women's groups, God has blessed us with gifted teachers. And so I encourage you to encourage others. Take advantage of that. It's for your good. It's for your growth in grace. And thirdly, notice the faithful word. That's in verse 43. Thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land that He swore to give their fathers, and they took possession of it, and they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as He had sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. So, the faithful word. All the means of entering into the inheritance were blessed. Verse 44 says, not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all the enemies into their hands. And the inheritance itself, verse 45, not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. Not one word fell to the ground. The Lord fulfilled His word. But somebody says, well, isn't there some imperfection there? Well, of course there is. There always is when it comes to sinful men and women. Any foresample of the full inheritance of God's people, there's going to be imperfection. And some may say, well, every word was not fulfilled. Because, I mean, there were still Canaanites still dwelling in the land in certain places, and therefore there's a shortfall in the inheritance. Well, that's true, but not because the Lord abandoned any of His word. It's because of the unbelief of Israel. There was nothing preventing Israel from fully completing the possession of the promised land except their unbelief in the days of battle. But when they went out in the confidence of the Lord, not a man was able to stand before them. The Lord never failed to fulfill His word, but they did fall short concerning their confidence in that word. And so they did not enter into the completeness of the inheritance assigned to them. But the ultimate inheritance, well, of course, that'll have no imperfection in it. Because although all four samples of it in this world fall short, of course, there's no sin or lack of fullness in heaven, and therefore no shortfall in the enjoyment of the inheritance. If there's no sin and no shortfall, the complete blessedness promised will be actual and it will be full. It will be fully enjoyed there. Revelation 21:27, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then chapter 22, verse 3, no longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. At night and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent His angel to show His servants what must soon take place. God's word will be fulfilled. There will not be the slightest discrepancy between the testimony of Scripture and the glory that shall be revealed. Not one word of all His promises the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed, and all came to pass, and all will come to pass. And the Lord, who is our life, He shall appear, and we shall appear with Him in glory. Father, thank You tonight for this portion of Your word. We ask that You will apply it as we go home tonight and even think more about it. Thank You for this record of Your faithfulness in this challenge to us to believe all that You have said. And we trust You in Jesus' name. Amen.